back of your head? What's it sound like in the back of your head?
Welcome to episode 18 of the Just Keep Spinning podcast. This is Andrea. I'm here with
Andrew.
And we have a special guest today, guys. It's Darren from Grace Records. Say hi, Darren.
Hey, how's it going?
So, as you guys know, we are available on multiple platforms, on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, pretty much anywhere you can get a podcast at, and also on 102.9. I don't know the exact day that it's going to be aired, our podcast, but our first episode was just on KDIF. So, Darren, you'll be on the radio as well.
Awesome.
So, Darren, is there any... Oh, really quick, our Instagram is Just Keep Spinning Podcast. If you want to email us, it's justkeepspinningpodcast@gmail.com. And are there any websites or social media handles you want anyone to follow you guys at?
Yeah, Grace Records. So, www.gracerecord.com. And you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all that good stuff.
Awesome. And where are you guys located, the exact address?
We are in Gilbert, Arizona, in the Santan Village Mall, 2200 East Williams Field Road, Suite 112, back in Santan Village Mall by the Harkins Theater.
Yeah, and I like your guys' location because I feel like it's different than a lot of the other record stores, so it has its own unique feel to it.
Definitely a different feel being in a mall. We're trying to bring that back a little bit. You know, back in the 80s and 90s, record stores were in malls. Now they're not, but we're trying to change that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, sure.
And really quick, an event I want to highlight is every Friday in October at Crescent, they're going to be having the Nightcap Beat. I'm like, I can't read my own handwriting, but basically it's going to be the Brunch Collective, which is a DJ collective, and they're going to be playing from 11 p.m. to 2 a.m. So that'd be, any of you night owls want to check that out, that'd be something good for you guys to do. And is there anything that the store is going to have going on in the future?
Yeah, a big event is Black Friday for us, the day after Thanksgiving. We've got a record store day, special releases, a lot of one-off limited edition titles are going to be coming out on Black Friday that weekend. And then we'll also be having a lot of sales over that day and that weekend too. And then all the holidays coming up, we'll have some special deals coming on. So visit us, well, before then, but also for those special events.
Yeah, it seems like you guys try to have some stuff in here, like bands and stuff play too, because I know there's actually a band coming today to play.
We do. So if you're following us on social media, you'll see we have bands coming in. We try to do it on Saturday nights every couple weeks. It's just open to artists that really don't have a big platform, or they might. We'll give them an opportunity to maybe play an amp down set, more acoustic type set. So you can hit us up if you're interested in playing for us on a Saturday night.
Awesome. And Andrew, do you have any pickups, recent pickups, like of records?
I do not have any pickups that I can think of. Actually, I bought you one.
Yeah, I got that Blood Orange new release, and then he got it from Stinkweed, so it came with a 7-inch, so I was super excited about that. But
I should have got it from Grace Records. I'm just
I didn't know you had it.
Nothing against Stinkweeds, but...
I'm just saying, you are here. And have you... I know it's an awkward question to ask, like, a record store owner. Have you gotten anything lately? But personally, is there anything that you've picked up in the past, like, few months or anything like that?
Well, I'm always picking things out. Every time I'm in here, I'm always taking something home. But one I just pulled off the shelf, which is right next to me, Modest Mouse release for Breast Cancer Awareness Month. There were 10 bands that released special edition pink vinyl albums. So Modest Mouse just released that. So I'm taking one of those home for myself.
That's the perks of being the owner. I can't hate on you for that, okay? But that's a good pickup. So... Andrew?
So, as in every episode, we like to do, like, this day in music, but so since you're our guest, we always do on the date of your birth. So, on your date of your birth, the number one song on the Hot 100 was The First Time I Ever Saw Your Face by Roberta Flack. I mean, yeah. So in some of these songs, like, people don't even know, and I'm like, do you know that song? They're like, nope, never even heard it. But then, so there was like something on social media not too long ago that like the when you're 14 years old, on the date of your birth, like the number one song during that time period defines your life. So on that
supposedly, I don't agree with that.
You're making me nervous right now.
Supposedly, but so I always go through like the top 10, but I didn't do that yet. Yep, I cut off the top.
See, I was right. So remember when he was getting it, and I was like, hey, the 10's not on there. He's like, yeah, it is. I was like,
but
okay.
But it's okay, because I got it saved right in front of me. Number 10 was Manic Monday by the Bengals. This was in 1986.
That's not a bad song.
No. Phil Collins was number 9, Take Me Home. Number 8 was Outfield, Your Love. Mm. Number 7 was Greatest Love of All by Whitney Houston. Number 6 was Janet Jackson, What Have You Done For Me Lately. Number 5 was Harlem Shuffle by the Rolling Stones.
Good.
Number 4 was Van Halen, Why Can't This Be Love. Number 3 was Kiss by Prince and the Revolution. Number 2 was Pep Shop Boys, West End Girls. And number 1, When You're 14 Years Old, On the Date of Your Birth.
Can you take a guess?
I have no clue.
Robert Palmer, Addicted to Love.
Oh, no.
You're like, am I addicted to records? Okay, that's the love I'm talking about.
Well, the funny thing is, I definitely recognize all of those songs. So there was actually some pretty good ones in there. It was a nice surprise. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, some...
That kiss, yeah, Prince, that was a great song.
There's a good mixture, too.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, you had the Stones in there, and Pet Shop Boys, that brings back some memories. Yeah.
So I guess let's go ahead and get into the swing of things. So, Darren, why don't you tell us about yourself a little bit? Are you from Arizona?
Yeah, so I'm actually an Arizona native. I grew up in the East Valley, actually in Gilbert, about 10 minutes away from where the store is located. My parents actually still live in the same house. And we'll probably get into it, but I opened up the record store with my dad. So definitely a family affair and still linked into the house I grew up in. And Gilbert High, where I graduated from, is not too far away, too. So I have not moved far.
You're a hometown boy.
I'm an East Valley guy. Nothing against the West Side, but yeah, definitely an East Valley guy. I actually went to ASU and have lived in literally like 3 cities my entire life. So Tempe, Gilbert, and now Queen Creek.
Oh, wow.
That's cool. So you're right. You're like, I'm an East Valley guy.
Yes.
I think he's our first guest from the East Valley, right?
Yeah. I mean, most
like
of
the Far East.
Yeah, this is the farthest east we've come. So I don't know. I mean, I think there's one more store that's even farther out, but I think we'll get to them later because we live in Avondale, which is like literally
on the other side of
Phoenix. So yeah, it was quite a journey. Because this is our second visit here, but yeah, you know, just coming out here, it's like it's completely different than like Central Phoenix, where most of the local the record stores are located now is Central Phoenix. There's nothing on the west side yet. Hopefully, eventually, somebody will open something.
There's nothing over there at all.
Nothing's come that far. Nothing's gotten past 7th Avenue.
Yeah, it seems like most of the record stores are very centrally located in Phoenix, and so that's one reason why we chose Gilbert, because there really wasn't much out past a couple of Zia Records. In Chandler and off the 60. So good thing is we're right off the freeway, so hopefully it wasn't too bad for
you. No, yeah, it was just like right there. So I was like, cool.
It's convenient.
Yeah, it wasn't bad at all.
Yeah.
And you can always just, you're like, I'm thirsty, and you'll go get something drinking and come back and keep drinking.
Yeah, there you go. We're in a mall.
Or you sell water and soda, right?
We do have some waters and sodas and I think even some Starbucks drinks in the refrigerator. So
you have some good stuff there. Yeah. So Liz, growing up, were your parents into music, like your family? Was it like something that was big for them as well?
Yeah, my dad was always a huge fan of course, the Beatles. So definitely grew up listening to the Beatles and some of that type of stuff. I definitely remember listening to Styx, which is not, I'm not super proud of that. But
there's nothing wrong with Styx.
I harass my dad about it every once in a while because we get quite a few Styx records coming through here. I'm like, look, Dad, another Styx record. and we actually had an 8-track player down in the basement. So I remember listening to some 8-track. We had Styx on 8-track. And the funny thing is every once in a while I'll get an 8-track tape coming through here. We'll sell them for like a buck out here. yeah, a little nostalgia.
So did you, like you were saying, so in the 80s, obviously records were, they're going out the door because things like tapes hadn't taken over yet, like cassette tapes and whatnot. So did you actually, when you were younger, did you buy records? Or
I had some records, actually. The one that stands out to me even today, and I still have it, I have no idea why my dad actually didn't sell it, because he sold pretty much every one of my other records that I had, which is Beastie Boys' "Licensed Ill." So yeah. I still actually have that record, the one that I owned, and I'm happy I still have that. But yeah, I had a few, and that was by far the best record that I had.
So back then, did you play like, because a lot of people back then had like those big old consoles too. Did you play like on one of those big old things, or was it just like a turntable?
It was a turntable hooked up to some speakers. You know, it wasn't one of those old school giant things. yeah, my parents weren't cool enough to have one of those, I guess. But,
So like growing up, when did you start coming into your own like musical taste, I guess you can say?
Yeah, I would say I had poor musical taste probably through high school, but once I went off to college and ASU, I really got more into probably like an indie scene, where I found groups like Jane's Addiction, which turned into one of my favorites, Smashing Pumpkins, and then probably my all-time favorite, Tool. So a very, very different kind of music from, you know, high school days. But those are still bands that I definitely have an affinity towards. But there's a lot of newer bands as well that I really like.
You're like the third person that we've had that has said they like still love Tool. They're like, I used to listen to Tool. I mean, I still listen to Tool.
yeah, I mean, I've definitely seen them live many times, but not in a long period of time. I know Maynard's a little
he's
reclusive.
Yeah. He's interesting.
He is. I don't know if I'd want to spend any time with him, but he is an interesting fella.
You're like, I'll go see him and I will listen, but other than that, I'm good.
I funny story. I actually remember back in the day, I was probably 19 at the time, and they were playing at Mesa Amphitheater. And it was one of those super cold fronts that we rarely get in Phoenix. And I think it was about 20 degrees out. No kidding. And Maynard comes out in literally underwear painted blue from head to toe. And it was the most odd thing I think I've ever experienced. And it still stands out today. Yeah.
You're like, okay.
Yeah, I get it.
But you're not going to question it because it's him. You're just like, okay, you know.
Like, all right, I'm into it. Let's go.
Yeah, I'm into it.
Where is this going? Why is he blue? Are we going to get answers to that question? Probably not, but that's okay. Let's just do it.
So is this before the Blue Man Group? Or
it was before, yeah. I think, you know what? We could give him credit for the Blue Man Group.
He's the inspiration.
He should go after them for maybe some copyright. I don't
know. I'm like, you heard it here first, guys. So back when you were younger, like, what was the spot that you would go to? Because, like, I know, and the... Even if you lived in the West Valley, like the place that you would buy like cassettes or even CDs at, a place would be like the Warehouse. Do you remember, like, did you guys have that in the East Valley?
We did. You know, Tower Records here was huge. So Tower Records, you know, in the mall, I grew up going to Fiesta Mall, and there was a Tower Records in there. So a lot of times that was the place to be. And candidly, that's why we put Grace Records in a mall, you know, to create that fun environment for teenagers, younger people, as well as, you know, people that might be a little older that are hanging out at a mall, just trying to bring that back a little bit.
Yeah, I definitely see what you're saying, because even, like I said, we've been here one other time because we made it a point to come out here a long time ago. God, I don't know how long ago that was, but that was this year, right? It was earlier this year, I believe.
I believe it was at the beginning of this year.
Or beginning of this year. So... but when we came in, because we were so interested, we're like, okay, where is this at? Well, we want to see. So we came in and we're like, it's such a different, like we said, it's like a different vibe, but not like in a bad or negative way, but it's cool because you see like a bunch of younger kids, which I think is really neat because you're getting them interested in it. And I see them sitting at the turntable and actually sitting there and really enjoying whatever record it is they're listening to. So it's really neat.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, we sometimes have little kids come in with their parents, and their parents will literally walk them in and be like, this is actually a record. So we have some records underneath the shelf that we'll actually give to kids so they can hold it and literally drop it. I mean, we don't care. let them take it home, whatever they want. But, you know, that's their first experience with a record. And if we weren't here, they wouldn't have that. You know, that might be creating a music memory for them that they might have the rest of their lives, just having that connection. You know, somebody just walking by a store and they thought, oh, here we go. Whereas they're not going to go into like a Stinkweeds or a Zia, you know, in that environment. They're just walking by in a mall and checking us out.
Yeah, because I even saw, even today when I came here, and I was just looking around to observing everything, and there was a lady that came in, and her daughter, it looked like they each bought like a few records, but then she also bought a Crossley. So it's like she was, you know, a little bit older, and her daughter was little. But it's interesting to see that they probably both can have a shared experience here, and she can walk out and she can relive stuff for herself and introduce her daughter to stuff. So definitely an advantage of being in the mall, that way you can get like a bigger, cast your net wider, I guess, for your customers and get people coming in. So do you have a lot of regulars?
We definitely have some regulars, and they're coming in mainly during the week, you know, probably the off hours. And then, you know, Friday, Saturday, even Sundays, we get a lot of, you know, teenagers just coming to hang out. A lot of times they're buying newer records and newer releases. But, you know, the way we have things set up with the, you know, 10,000 plus used records we have priced at $3, you know, it's easy for them to maybe get a record or two from the 70s, or just finding a cover that looks cool, you know, for $3. I mean, that's cheaper than a coffee. So
yeah, it is actually.
You know, grab a handful and go listen to some music. You know, we've had, you know, some kids that are producing music and they like sampling jazz music. So they'll just come in and search through the $3 jazz section, pull some stuff off and listen to it. You know, and those are guys that probably wouldn't have done that if we weren't here. So it's fun to do that.
That's definitely true. So as you said, part of the inspiration for opening the record store, like you said, was Tower. So like, how did it all come to be? Was it just like you saw a need for it because there wasn't much out here, or were you, is it something maybe that you had in the back of your mind for a long time?
Yeah, it's kind of a funny story. So I'm a CPA and I'm an accountant, and I've spent my career doing accounting, and I was just in transition with my career, taking some time off, and my dad is actually the true collector. So he's been collecting for 20 plus years and, you know, had probably over 15,000 records in his house. And my mom was actually getting on him just a little bit. Like, you got to start getting rid of some of the stuff. He's pretty tied into the local record community where he was sourcing a lot of records on a regular basis. And I was kind of taking over their house a bit. So
she's like, you're going to thin it out a little.
So my dad and I just took a little trip. And I like running marathons as well. 26.2 miles for those music enthusiasts who might not know. I get to listen to a lot of good music when I'm running. But so we were out on trip, and I said, Dad, what do you think about just opening up a record store? And he's like, yeah, that might be pretty cool. And I've got a 17-year-old daughter, and I'm married, and so I floated by my wife first because I'm a smart man. And she gave me the thumbs up, and then I talked to my 17-year-old, and she loved the idea. So we were pretty much a go. So it was just a matter of where do we want to go, and I love Gilbert, and this is really the mall we come to the most, and there's, like we talked about earlier, there's really not a lot of record stores out this way, so it was pretty easy. The mall was great to deal with, and we opened up, and from that point, probably about 60 days, so it happened really, really, really fast.
Yeah, I mean, we just came across, like, your guys' Instagram. That's how we found out about you guys. And I was like, hey, they're opening a record store. And literally, you guys were open. Like, hey, we're opening up. And I was like, hey, there's a new record store opening. And they're like, hey, we're grand opening. We're already open. I'm like, how did they get open that
fast?
Like, where did they get all these records? I know there's, like, people selling them all the time. But where did they get all these records? Again, yeah. You know, it just... it blew my mind.
It was from my dad's basement.
My dad's, was that the initial name of the record store? My dad's basement.
It should have been, but he's actually been buying and selling under Redfield Records for a long time.
Oh my God! Okay, yeah, I know what that is. Totally.
So local record guys might remember his garage sale, literally garage sales, where he'd sell a whole bunch of stuff. So we turned that into Grace Records.
That's actually really neat. I did not know that. Yep. That's awesome. So Redfield Records. Wasn't there a band back in the day named Redfield as well?
I don't know. I'm not familiar
there
with
them. I swear there was a local band named Redfield.
There was a local band named Redfield.
See? Okay. See? And they were, I remember they were based in the East Valley. So we're, you know, Westsiders, Central Phoenix Westsiders. But back when we were younger, we always had to travel east to see live music because there wasn't there wasn't really anything out there at all in the West Valley. Everyone would travel over here, but I totally remember Redfield, that band. So it was
now you're schooling me on East Valley stuff. So I'm gonna have to go find that record.
He's
somehow.
Like, I'm gonna go. So, but that's cool. That's awesome. But I remember the Redfield records. Like, I remember seeing that around and stuff like that, and people like talking about it. So that's pretty interesting. See, that's why we do this stuff, because part of the podcast, we always say too, is kind of documenting the history in Arizona, because none of it really is like at all. So this is kind of like our contribution, and to come here so we can like interview you and people can get to know you a little bit better. So they know like, okay, when I'm giving my money to the store, it's going to a family. So, yep. You know what I'm saying? Because you're a family owned business. So which I think is really cool. So it's a whole family affair here.
It definitely is a family affair. So my daughter works here. She actually coordinated us meeting.
Yeah,
so she runs our social media type stuff. And then Mitchell, who is a ASU senior, he runs a lot of things for us as well. And we know Mitchell through a homeschool community. So we actually homeschool our kids. So probably half our staff are homeschool kids, and the other half are kids that we just know through friends and family. So it's definitely a family environment.
Yeah, and that's what you said. That's what's cool, is it's a family environment. So if you guys come in here and you have your kids, like you said, it's in the mall setting. So it's totally fine for you to come in here and dig with your children and, like he says, actually show them what a record is.
And we have a couch in the back, too. So
yeah, I did see the couch.
You can actually chill in the back with your Coca-Cola and the new addition, the claw machine in the back corner, so you can even walk away with a stuffed animal. Look at that.
No, I understand what the stuffed animals are up there. I was like, why is there a bag of stuffed animals up there? That is the most oddball thing I've seen. Obviously, we're not on like video. We're in the back room here at Grace Records, and like, you know, we have tons of stuff back here and records, you know, just stack boxes and boxes of records, but also a lot of equipment. Why some record stores sell equipment, but you guys have like a lot of new equipment. So yeah. What was the?
Yeah, so really, it's just it's opportunity, right? So it's a way for us to maybe bring somebody back into records, and the best way to do that is with turntables. So we have a huge selection of turntables. That was just one thing I wanted to do when we opened up the store, was to have a good selection of turntables. So I try to get some very economically priced ones, you know, call it 60, 70 bucks, and then on up. I mean, we have some nicer ones, but typically upwards of like 200 would be the max, and we sell quite a few of those over the holidays. Definitely a lot of gifts. Turntables make great gifts, and you know, when you're looking at that price point, it's a turntable, a couple new records, and you're in the $100 range, and so that's worked out really well. So we've sold quite a few turntables just because we have a great selection and really good prices on them.
Yeah, because that's what I noticed too. I feel like you might even have more than last time, but you guys have a variety. It's not just like you have one cross sleeve, you have all these different types. And I saw that one, I was kind of eyeing one in there, the UFO one, the rock and roller one.
Yeah, the UFO, the round one, right?
It just looks cool. Yeah.
It's cool. I try, you know, I'm the one buying all this stuff, so I just kind of pick stuff that looks cool to me. And again, I being an accountant, you know, I'm always focused on price, and I want it to be at a good price. So typically we're at same price as online, or actually a lot cheaper in some cases.
Yeah, I mean, you guys even have Project Audios here, which is a really, like, you know, one of the higher end turntables. I mean, so that was really neat when I first came here. I was like, wow, they actually have like Project Audio, which is, you know, usually only like boutiques have that, if anybody has it at all. So I thought it was really unique seeing it in like an actual record store.
Yeah, and that's what we're spinning a project behind our counter, as well as the Marley player, which is my favorite, just from an aesthetics perspective, but just want to have a wide variety. So, you know, the Crosleys all the way up to the projects. Yeah.
Cause there's something for everybody basically that's going to walk through the door.
You got it. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of, in this community, there's a lot of like gear shaming, and we're all about, you know, yeah, that is a real thing. You'd be surprised.
You talk to people, they
people
get
talking
crazy.
So bad about Crosleys. I'm like, well, you know, that's, everyone has to start somewhere. So why are you going to,
like,
do
why
that.
Do you care? It's not your money.
It's not
like,
your money, yeah. Yeah. Let someone start where they want to start and let them enjoy it. And when they feel necessary, like, you know, I think I need something new, then let them go to, like, a Grace Records or whatever it may be and find something else.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a lot of times I have people come in and they're like, well, help me pick out a turntable. And, you know, it's just getting to know what they're looking for. A lot of times it's they don't have a turntable and they've got a low budget. Well, it's better getting a Crosley than having nothing at all. And it's a great place to start for a lot of people. And some people just like the aesthetics of it. I mean, when you look at records and what records mean, I mean, it's a form of artwork in itself. I mean, just the record, then the sleeve is a form of artwork. But the turntable is also a piece of artwork in my mind. So some of those Crosleys, I mean, they have some really cool visual things to them. You know, they some of them, you know, sound quality wise are certainly not the best, and probably all of us sitting here when you know pick that out from a sound quality perspective.
Yeah, but, of course.
But you know, it serves a purpose, a good purpose.
I mean, especially if you're starting with new records. I mean, new records obviously are a lot of new records aren't analog. Anyways, so it's not like you're going to get the best sound quality out of that brand new record. So you don't need to have, like, you know, this super hi-fi system. And, you know, yeah, but I just can't believe there's so much people who just like, oh, I just would never get a Crosley. It's like, well, you know, I don't want to give my child an expensive record player and then them get out of it like next week. And then I'm like, oh, well, now I'm stuck with this $300 machine. And now I have to put it online to try to sell it or something like that, or go try to trade it in somewhere.
So do you guys accept... Because you buy used records, right? But do you buy used equipment as well?
We do, yeah. Like I just bought one the other day. We have out there. Actually, somebody's just bought it. We're holding it for them. But, you know, it's a used turntable. I've got a used Pioneer that I'm fixing up right now to put back out. You know, and that Pioneer is historically a great piece of equipment. So you never know what's going to be out here. You just got to come in and check it out. You know, you get used, new, whatever.
Yep. Yeah, well, Pioneer is it? I'm just curious.
It's a PL560, I believe.
I don't know. We just found one recently at a secondhand store. I was like, so we picked it up and I was like, well, you know, this thing looks pretty neat. And so I did my research on it, and like finding like the cartridge for it is like going to be a task, but you know, it's a really neat turntable. I mean, we have obviously our turntables we play music on, but you know, it's just like one of those things where like when you see it, you just get, I kind of get sad because it's just sitting there.
Well, it was like I think like $10.
Yeah, so. It was like, you know, $10.
Oh,
you know,
I would have bought that.
It was worth the risk.
I mean, what are we doing here? I'm like, you know, I can might be able to give this thing a new home or give some new life at least.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, we have tons of turntables at the house.
Yeah, we have quite a few.
We have quite a few.
We're going to turn into your dad.
Yeah.
Be very careful.
That and like vintage receivers. That's another thing that I always see that are hard to find, come across. It's like, oh, look at that. It's like a wood box. I don't even care what brand it is. It just looks neat. It's just aesthetically pleasing. The aluminum face with the wood case.
I love that stuff. That Pioneer turntable is a fun story. We had just an older lady that came in, and she had recently lost her husband. So she was just looking to get rid of some things and help her out financially. So we bought that turntable and actually a reel-to-reel player, which I haven't even messed around with yet. But those kind of things, you know, it's literally hard to find that kind of stuff. But it's a piece of music history. So it's fun seeing those kind of things where I can help out a woman who financially needed some help. And it was just emotionally actually kind of cool too to listen to her and hear some stories of them sitting in their house playing the reel-to-reel tapes, you know, back in the day. You know, that kind of stuff is cool.
Yeah, I mean, I've never used a reel-to-reel, but I mean, from what I hear, the sound quality is amazing. I'm sure obviously you have to have like all the stuff to make it sound amazing, but even so, like just having, you know, I think it's just a different type of experience from just like putting a record on.
Yeah.
So that's super neat.
Yeah. It's cool stuff.
I know. I think there's maybe only one other record store where I've seen they've had a reel to reel for sale. So that's definitely, and I'm sure because of your location and all that, you guys get probably some crazy stuff in here that the other places don't get, because they're like, why the heck am I going to want to drive all the way to Central Phoenix or wherever? And they're like, of course I'm going to go somewhere where it's like 10 minutes away and they're going to bring it through here.
Right. Yep. And it's worth the drive too from the west side.
It really is.
We've been telling people.
And that was my next question actually. So one of the things that I always like to ask is, you know, what sets your store apart from other people?
Yeah, I think it's just a wide variety, wide selection. But ultimately, it's the experience. And when you come in here, it's very open. It's very inviting. You walk in and you see records. You know, we did a custom design for all the tables, so it's you can find stuff very easily. And I think we've tried to just have stuff that appeals to everybody. You know, from like the turntable selection to a couch in the back, just hang out. Just a fun place to. to literally, you can spend hours and hours. You can spend a day in here, I mean, easily, just kind of listening to stuff with the turntables in the front window. You can pull it out on the used stuff, listen to it. You know, it's just a very welcoming environment, and that's really why we created it, just a family environment where anybody can just come in and experience music.
Yeah, and I noticed, too, when we came in here and today, too, when I was looking, the way, like, you have your setup, like, everything displayed and presented, it's, like, simple and clear cut. It's not, like, overwhelming where you're like, if I want this, then where is it at? It's like, you pretty much know if you're going to be looking for something where it's going to be, because the way they have everything labeled, they have everything set up, and the height that you have the, like, the records in, it's good because it's not too high to where, because I feel like sometimes they're at awkward, like an awkward height where maybe though it's because I'm short, okay? I'm only like 5'3". So like, but I always feel like it's just a little bit more like, but I feel like here it's perfect because it's not like super low, but it's not like higher either. And it doesn't like give me fatigue in my neck and stuff when I'm looking. So it's definitely very accessible for probably anyone that would want to come here and look through everything.
Yeah, and really, when's the last time you went into a record store and didn't have to like bend down and look at stuff on the floor?
Yeah, I mean, that was something I noticed.
We don't do that.
Yeah, I mean, breaking your back, or mm-hmm. like, you know, we actually made like a meme or whatever, however
meme,
you want
a meme.
of like you know a crate digger's like starter kit, and had like knee pads and goggles and like allergy pills and things like that, because you know when you really want to get in and get dirty, you have to go and do that. And yeah. You know, my knees get tired. She just like kneels on her purse just to like help support her knees.
And I always say I like it when it's a colder weather, because then I'll have like a sweater or something, and then I like throw that on the floor and I ball it up and it helps. But when it's not, because you know you're not going to carry a sweater in Arizona in the summer or even first half of the fall, because it's not cold. So I definitely enjoy the colder months because I get. It's more comfortable.
Yeah, well, you won't have to do that here because you won't have to get on your hands and knees to dig for the stuff. So,
your price points, like basically all you know, I know you have like a certain area in every like section that has like, I guess, more higher value records, but everything's just like across the board is $3 for like 12s, correct?
Yeah, for the most part, the vast majority of our store is $3 for used.
And then your 45s, most of them, with the, like you're saying, the exception of a certain smaller section, they're $6 for $3?
$6 for $3. Yep.
Well, that's mind-blowing.
Yeah, so like, what? How did you come to that conclusion of like, you know what, it just...
I did my
in numbers. Was it all in numbers or like...
You know what, I just didn't like the record store experience where you're looking for stuff and you're digging and then you find something and you're like, how much is this? I don't even know how much it is. And, you know, I didn't want to price everything, so we said, let's just make it simple. So it was a $3 price point, which is perfect for us. I think it's a very reasonable price for a used record. And then we just went off that for the 45s, be like, hey, $6 for $3. Because really, you're talking 50 cents for a 45, which is a pretty reasonable price.
Yeah, I agree.
Was it we actually helped out with the record show? It was a few months now. And there was a gentleman there by the name of Desi, right? And he was saying we were talking about your record store because we were like, oh yeah, Grace Records is awesome. We've been there once. And he's like, oh yeah, that place is cool. And we were saying how no one from that end of the valley has come over here. And we were like, well, they're missing out, which is cool because it's more for free.
Yeah, I mean, so yeah, you guys, I think it's very neat to see just like in them, like you were saying, in the mall. Like, you know, I remember, I think the Arrowhead Mall was like the mall we went to when I was younger, like in high school. And the only thing they had in there, I think, was an FYE, was it? Or
I think it was a Sam Goody.
Yeah, Sam Goody. And, you know, I don't even know if they sold records then. Did they sell records then? I can't think.
I don't think so.
I don't think they did.
It was just CDs. And then I think there was a warehouse and a couple other malls. And then you just slowly see everything just start closing down. I think Sam Goody or FYE, there's like one left somewhere.
I think there's a FYE in Arizona Mills.
Yeah, I think that's like the last straggler.
But other than that, yeah, it's, like we said, the West Side has nothing at all. There's nothing out there. And there's an audience for it. There's just nothing out there to service it. So it's really smart that you guys saw that over here and you were like, you know what, let's open these doors and provide something for the community. So what was like your first concert?
First concert was State Fair. When I think I was about 12, and it was the Beach Boys.
Oh, we love the Beach Boys.
Yeah, I like the Beach Boys.
Yeah, it was a good first concert. You know, a lot of people don't have that experience. I lucked out.
He's like, I can proudly say what my first concert is.
And there's no guilt.
I know, because some people are like, I'd rather not say, or they're like, I think it was this, but I like to think it's this, but it's actually this.
Yeah, I mean, if it was like Tiffany, you know, back in the day, like that's when I grew up. Thank goodness it wasn't Tiffany.
Or Debbie Gibson.
Yeah, it wasn't Tiffany, it wasn't Debbie Gibson, it was a Beach Boy. I survived.
So, like, right now, what are you listening to right now? Like, what's the music that's like inspiring you and like driving you now?
Yeah, I really liked indie music, so my favorite band now is The National, so I really get into them. I love every one of their albums. They just released an album late in 17. They're still on tour, so I actually took my 17-year-old daughter out to L.A. a week ago just to see them live because they never come through Phoenix. So I love The National. Another band, Car Seat Headrest, comes to mind. I love what they're doing. And even bands like Manchester Orchestra, and just saw Death Cab for Cutie here.
They just came to Nutella.
It was sold out, right?
Yeah, I was lucky enough to get a pre-sale ticket. So, took my 17-year-old to that show too. But those are the kind of bands I'm really listening to right now. And like I said, Modest Mouse, is always a classic, you know, Radiohead, that type of stuff is really my wheelhouse. I like some of that newer stuff too. Some of the new female groups come along. I like a lot, like Middle Kids, that came out with an album, geez, probably 3 months ago. Hop Along, Speedy Ortiz, just stuff that's a little bit off the main trail of music. That's the stuff I'm into.
Have you ever heard of like La Luz?
I've heard of them. I've never listened to it though.
They're like, the way that they're described, and I was like, that's actually a perfect description. It's like goth surf rock in a way, like it's gothy, okay. but it's not, it's still like it has that little gothy like sadness to it, but it's like beachy surfy still. Uh-huh. So it's really interesting to listen to.
I'm gonna have to check it out.
Yeah, you should.
So since you said like, okay, your daughter, she's in high school, correct? Like she's high school age.
Yeah, 17. Yep.
So it's, does she ever show you music?
She does, yeah. She likes a little bit of hip-hop stuff, which I'm not a huge fan of other than the Beastie Boys, which we already talked about. But we're Christians, and so we get into a little bit of the Christian rock. You know, it's not my first choice on most of the music style, but like this weekend, we're going to see Lecrae tomorrow night. So a little hip hop, NF, who just kind of crossed over a little bit in the mainstream. So she's into NF. That's probably her favorite band right now. We sell a lot of his records in here, but that where she's definitely influenced me a little bit on that side.
See, that's cool, because I think our daughter's 13, so she's starting to get to the age too where she's like, she listens to a lot of the stuff like we listen to, obviously, but she's starting to develop more her own taste. So there's things that maybe like I'll get more savvy to because of her. Mm-hmm. So I always think it's like it's an interesting thing, and I'm sure it'll happen more the older she gets and the more she kind of goes out there and discovers what she likes. So that's always, I guess that's, I just wanted to know that because I was like, I have a daughter, so I was curious about that.
Yeah, she's making me go to a couple other concerts later this year. Bournes is coming, so I'm going to that. Not necessarily my style, but she's really looking forward to the Bournes concert. Yeah.
That's awesome. I love that she's into music because I always like to see other like women and girls and stuff that are really into music because I feel like we're sometimes underrepresented. So I really like, and it's cool that you're her dad and you're totally okay with it and you're right there with her. So, So let's see what else. What are some venues that you remember back in the day? Like, is there any venues that you frequented back in the day that are no longer around?
You know, I didn't really get into a lot of the smaller club scene, to be honest with you. My favorite place growing up was Mesa Amphitheater. You know, I love an outdoor venue, even though we're in Phoenix and it gets awful hot. but I love an outdoor venue, and there really aren't a lot still in the Valley. You know, Mesa Amphitheater really doesn't hold a lot of shows. But now I really like the Van Buren. So that's kind of my go-to. It seems like every other week I'm out at the Van Buren.
Yeah, the Van Buren, we still haven't been there.
Yeah, we used to live like right by it and we never went there for any events.
For some reason, I don't know why.
It was just one of those things where we're like, oh, we want to go to that show. I'm like, yeah, well, maybe not.
Or we have something else going on, so we
can't
we
have
go.
To go do this. Or, you know, we're going to go do an interview for the podcast. Or we're going to go play music somewhere or something else. We're always so busy.
Okay,
so,
but well, you need to check it out.
It's really nice, right?
It's really nice. I mean, I would say the sound quality is okay, but just the venue itself is a great venue. I think they did an amazing job of refurbishing that location. I love the history of it as well, and it's a great size to see a show. Very, very accommodating to a decent-sized crowd, but you feel like it's very intimate. I mean, a lot of times we're in the first couple rows, and, you know, having that experience with a band like Death Cab, you know, I mean, it's hard to find that type of stuff, and they do a great job with it.
Definitely. I hear, from what I hear, it's, like, comparable to the Marquee Theater, except...
Like, for size-wise? Like,
yeah, size-wise,
the capacity.
Size-wise, it's very similar. Quality-wise, nothing against Marquee, but, I mean, I love the Van Buren for the experience.
Yeah.
It's just a very different venue feel when you get in there.
Well, and the Marquee, too, I always say, it's so hot in there. Is it hot in the Van Buren too?
No, actually, we were just at the Van Buren this last week, and we were actually cold.
Girl, we had to put sweaters on.
Yeah, my daughter's like, we got to go outside because I'm freezing.
Aww. Well, that's good to know, because we're like, how's the ventilation in there? Because we haven't been in there, because like we said, the Marquee, it's like, well, and what's funny, we've mentioned it before, so the Marquee, they have now like a newer, it's a few years old actually, quite a few years old, but they have like, they put like an AC system or something in there, but it's still, it doesn't help.
It might be just for looks.
Yeah, nothing against the Marquee Theater. We used to go there a lot when we were teenagers. But, you know, I think a lot of, like, bands are kind of coming through, and they're, like, kind of shying away from the Marquee Theater and coming down to downtown Phoenix. Because, you know, the location in Tempe as well, it's kind of like not necessarily a bad location, but just an awkward location where you have to park across the street. You have to pay for that parking. Obviously, in downtown, you have to pay for parking, but it's like you can park wherever.
And there's a lot of cool places downtown.
Yeah, there's plenty of places to, like, even eat or whatever it is that you do afterwards. It's just a really nice place.
Yep.
I know, because I've seen pictures and it looks beautiful inside. Like, whoever did all the design and stuff, they really were thinking. But it doesn't look like gaudy or over the top. It just looks real nice. And
it's
like,
nice.
It's all crisp and nice and clean in
and
there.
They have some pretty good food there, too. We actually like to eat sometimes before we go in.
I didn't even know that they had, like, a little kitchen in there.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
A full service? Like do they have, like, tacos and burritos, that kind of
like
stuff?
I think, like, 4 or 5 menu items and obviously some drinks out on a patio. Yep. It's really good.
That's
yeah, did not know there was like a restaurant inside there, or like at least a little kitchen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, now we have to go. Like, we have to make a point to go. So the next time the podcast comes on, we went to the Van Buren finally.
I feel like I should be paid by the Van Buren right now, because I'm really hyping them up. I haven't reached out to them yet, but I'm going to send them this podcast so they can hook me up.
I'm selling it.
Yo, send me a shirt or something.
I get nothing from the Van Buren. Let's just be clear.
Yo, I don't know who owns it. So did you already ask what do you hope people take away from when they come here? Do you hope, like, what do you hope, like, when people come in, like, not necessarily like the feeling or the experience that they take away from here?
Yeah, I mean, I just hope that they can find the music they're looking for. I mean, that's why we try to have something for everybody, so that they can at least find something, or they had fun looking, right? And ultimately, it's they can walk out saying, that was fun. That was a cool store. You know, that's what it's all about. They don't necessarily need to buy something. I mean, that's why we have the couch and the listening stations. Just come check us out.
And do you venture out much to other record stores? I mean, I'm sure it's hard. Like, why would you, in a sense? Because there's so much here for you. But, like, do you ever still go out and look occasionally elsewhere?
Yeah, I'll go to Zia every once in a while. You know, I think Zia certainly serves a purpose. I mean, they're by far the largest record store in the region, not even in Phoenix. So, you know, that's it. They have some really good stuff in there every once in a while. So I'll frequent them. And we have a good relationship with the guys over at Double Nickel. So out in Tempe, Mike's a really great guy. So we'll go over there every once in a while just to see Mike and hang out. And he's got some cool stuff.
Yeah, they definitely, we always tell people about Double Nickels that they always have interesting stuff. Like, even if you don't even really know what you like or what you want, like, you're so tempted to buy anything in there.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say the store experience is about exactly opposite of Grace Records, but.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's, they're all, it's all like vendors, like private vendors, isn't that?
It is. Yeah.
I always call it like, it's not a, it's actually not a mall, but like always call it like a record mall in a sense. Cause like he's saying, it's not like one store, like it's a collective, Double Nickels Collective. So yeah. It's a collective of different vendors, but they always have something that like catches your eye in there where you're like, I don't even know what that is, but I think I want that.
Yeah. Yeah. They get some weird stuff.
And is there anything else?
No, I think that's about going to wrap it up. Is there anything else you wanted to, any notes you want to leave us with?
No, I think we touched on everything. You know, just come check out the store. I mean, that's all I can say, you know.
Yeah, and it's like we said, if you're not in the East Valley, it's definitely worth the drive down here. Not just because the price is, obviously the price is definitely, if you're a collector, you like to buy, come out here, you're not going to walk away with nothing because there's something here. Like I said, everything's easily categorized and labeled. Everything's accessible. It's nice in here. You're not sneezing when you're looking through stuff that much.
Yeah, there's not as much dust.
If you get thirsty.
There's no dust. We try to clean the floors. Everything's clean.
It's but pretty.
Your hands will get dirty looking through some of the used records because we don't clean them like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to happen.
That's about it.
But yeah, and... Like you can get something to drink here, you can sit down, they have listening stations, and everybody here is really helpful. So come on down to Grace Records. It's here, and this is the Santan
Village Mall. And I will add, because I don't think we touched on it, we still have thousands of new records. So all new releases, you can come down, check us out. We always pretty much stock all new records, and like I said, Record Store Day stuff, indie releases through Record Store Day, we carry all that.
And how often, really quick, do you replenish your stock?
Oh, we're every week we're getting new records, and every week we're getting used records. So we're constantly putting new stuff out. Literally, it's daily we're stocking.
Awesome. Okay. And then just one more time, can you give this websites or social media handles you want people to contact you at?
Yep. Website, gracerecord.com. And then Instagram. You can find us on Instagram through the website, all of our tags there.
And our Instagram is Just Keep Spinning Podcast. Our email is justkeepspinningpodcast@gmail.com. We always say it's so long, but we cannot change it because it's just cemented, and that is what it is. So, like we said, come on down here, grab some records, and you won't be disappointed. So don't stop digging and just keep spinning.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
To my mouth, it won't make it to my cup. So you dish me up, but you wish me bad luck. It'll make it to my mouth, it won't make it to my cup. So